Yet I thank God for what I have heard last night, Pastor Hardy and Brother Wayne this morning. You know, when I asked Pastor Larry about the arrangement of the speakers, I found out I was sandwiched in the middle. And I said, "Me, is this a blessing or a what?" You know. And I don't know. But anyway, when my pastor told me that he wants me to speak in this conference, you know, I always felt the same way with him. I'm obedient to my pastor. Amen. I cannot say no. And God is so good. Amen. Again, with what we have seen last night, you know, I believe it's not in vain. Amen. It's worth it all. And as I see the young people here sitting to my left, and my daughter no longer here, she passed on. And when she asked me, "Dad, I feel a little older now." "Yes, you are." You know? But she was born in this church. She grew up in this church. A lot of memories in this church. When I left this church about 9 years ago, I had some misgivings. I didn't want to leave. I was so comfortable here. You know, I've been a member here since 1985. And you know, I came here to the U.S. seeking for gold. I thought it would bring me happiness. You know? And one way to do that for us in the Philippines is to join the U.S. Navy. You know? And so when I got in, you know, never had a job before. I was just a college student, third year. And I got in, and then the first thing that I've been brought in is outside this planet. It's boot camp. Boy, I tell you, if they will ask me to go back and do it again, I probably would not. We learn formal English in the Philippines. You know, we say the things as we see the syllables, you know, because now that's how our teachers taught us how to pronounce them. So when I got in boot camp, you know, and being under our company commander, I think he's from Southern Georgia or what, with a southern drawl, you know, and he sat with him, and in the company, he had to face a couple of Filipinos with a weird last name. One of my comrades was named Bulalakaw, you know, and the other was Madlang Bayan. And the other one was Del Rosario. That's me. And every time we have a master, he had that roster with him. And I just watched him, you know. He did not want to say our names. Unlike Jones, Smith, you know, all the common American names. And I knew that he just wants to throw that roster away every time he comes to pronouncing. So I appreciate the message, you know, Brother Wayne today about not, you know, being prone to change. But I think it came late for me. You know why? I changed my name from Del Rosario to Del. And they asked me, "Why did you do that?" You know, because, you know, if you know the meaning of Del Rosario, it means off the rosary. Very, very Catholic. And since I got saved, I no longer pray the rosary. So I need to get rid of it. Now, plus, I know that many Americans don't have problem pronouncing my name. But when I testify in court, I watch the defense attorney. Would you please state your name and say it for the record? And I'll say my name very, very slowly. And I will watch them. They will still repeat my name. They won't repeat my name because they still cannot pronounce it. And every time I deal with a police officer, you know, they have to write my name on the right. "Would you please spell your name?" And they always ask me to spell my name. And, you know, sometimes they call me Del Rosio, Del Rosa, Del Toro, Del Taco. You know, man, what are you doing? You are murdering my name. You know. So, by the way, I'm sorry I've done that. You know, And one thing that I'm concerned also was that when I got saved, my name was Del Rosario, and I know that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know? And so that's just a part of life. I hope, I think they know my DNA up there, you know. Well, I thank God for all of you who came a long way. I know many of you prayed for me. And even before I asked you to stand, the text that I'm going to use today, I prayed very hard. You know, I was, again, moved by the message of Pastor Hardy last night. By the way, he preached in my church. And Brother Dan Tidd also preached in my church last Sunday. And I shook Brother Sam Davison's hand, you know. And he said, "Did you get a message last Sunday?" After, what message? It took me a long time to figure it out, but I finally figured it out. I'll let them ask me about it later. You know. But first of all, I want to give glory to God. Thank God for the time. You know, I appreciate my wife for being here. She's got beautiful eyes. And so she also used it as a signal for me. But it's because, you know, I don't know about you, but you better get the message. That's why last night, let's go home early. Why? Because my message is 15 pages long. You know, and I found out that I was only given, you know, 35 minutes. And thank God that we're on time, and I hope to finish early, you know. And seriously, I want to thank Pastor and Mrs. Knoll and these two missionaries that God used to start this church. To them, the world was not worthy. And they proved it with their lives. And they were used of God to start this great work. And last night, you saw the video. It brought back a lot of memories. As if they were just here with us. I remember the small room back there where Pastor Larry and me and Brother Dan sat. And he taught us from the Word of God. I also served him. I love serving Pastor now. I went to his home because he couldn't really move a lot. So I helped clean up his home and tend his garden. Mrs. Now loved roses, you know. And because I want to be there, I pretend that I know gardening, but I did not know how to do it. I just want to be around them, you know.
Amen.
But, you know, during the heat of the day, Pastor Now will just bring a pitcher of cold water. Brother Willie, come over, you know. He make me sit down on his table and just open his Bible.
Amen.
And shared to me about his word. And I found out that he was praying for me.
Amen.
And so, Brother Willie, I'm praying for you. Oh, thank you. Thank you so much, sir, you know. And, of course, at that time, he told me the need that Pastor Larry is getting out of the Navy, and he needs a helper, but the church can only afford one paid staff. And I want to take you in, but I cannot promise you, but you know, our church can give to you. I wanted to serve at that time, but I understand it's practically impossible at that time. So I asked him, I'll pray about it. And he was very, very gentle and gracious to tell me, Brother Willie, I'm praying for you, but what the Lord leads you and where the Lord leads you, I'll be happy. Just be faithful to the church. And I took his word, faithful to the church. And I cannot forget that night when my wife and I were praying. We just left a church and we were seeking God's will. And at that time, we didn't have TV, praise the Lord. No TV. We just have the Bible, and we sang. And we were asking, Lord, lead us to the church where we can serve you, where we can grow. And then I heard a knock on the door. And on our front door before had a glass window, and it has a little curtain. And I heard the knock, and I opened, and I saw the face of a white man. And then I know that there was somebody else next to him. But I can't figure out who was it. That was Brother A. Barrera. You know, and he was with Pastor Nal, and they stated the purpose of their visit. And he asked me if I am saved, and I told him, yes, sir, I am saved. And my wife is saved too. We trusted Christ as our Savior. And we are praying for a church. Oh, that's good. He told me, we are just 2 blocks from you, because at that time we were living right there in Prospect. And we started a work here, and that was Tuesday night when we got visited. And then the next day my wife asked them, when will your next service? He said, Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So we came here, we promised to come, so we came, and there was still nobody here. And because we were so close, when we came here, we saw Mrs. Now holding a Sunday school clinic. So my wife and I sat in and listened, and we just loved what we saw. And Sunday we came, and we're still seeking God's will, but I thought, Pastor Now asked me already, did you come to join our church? Not yet, sir, we're still praying. But it didn't take very long for us to make that decision. Oh, I look back. That was in 1985. And what a tremendous, tremendous blessing. So I thank the Lord for bringing me here to this church. I grew up a lot. I met so many people that are still my friends here. And thank God that they are still here. I can just name our brother Vic, and a dear friend of ours, Sister Loida. And I'm so thankful for many, many people here. And this, I still consider this my church home. Every time I have an opportunity, I am here. But it's becoming rarer and rarer now, because I'm also busy in my ministry in Mira Mesa, which is about 25 miles north of here. And so, as I said, we are products of influence. Pastor and Mrs. Knoll influenced my life and my wife's life. And I believe that there are also many preachers here from the Philippines. Would you please stand if you were directly or indirectly influenced by the ministry of Reverend Knoll there? See this? Thank God. You know, these are the people who live that principle, Brother Wayne. They lost their lives serving others. We love them so much. They serve their time, they serve their purpose. But I can tell right now, I don't know if it's looking down, that Pastor, it's not in vain. What you have done here, is spending the rest of his life before God took him home in this place. In fact, he wanted to jumpstart the mission in Mira Mesa. That was in his heart. But it did not materialize because God took him home. And I'm thankful for Pastor Obero. He supported me and my wife. In fact, they supported the mission for about 2 years before we organized in May of 2000. And of course, you know what I was going to do there. Basically, like what we call DNA, a copy of a copy of a copy of a copy. You know? Isn't that wonderful? That's what we do in that technology now. You know, before, it's almost impossible to identify someone with just a very minute evidence. But now because of technology, we are able to do a DNA typing. And that's, I still do the same job in the police department, but by God's grace, probably next year, I'm done. Amen. I'll be able to concentrate full time, and I believe that God will use us in a greater way. You know, and so, again, to Pastor Hardy and many, many pastors that supported Pastor Long, thank you very much. Your prayers, your support is not in vain. And because you gave, we have this church. And the granddaughter church. Amen. He's our Lolo. We call him Lolo And sometimes they're trying to figure it's a grandpa. And we love Pastor Hardy all those years. I know that I also can call him anytime if I need help in the ministry. Thank God for friends that we have in the ministry. Well, I thank God for the people here. What a sweet spirit that they have. I thank God for your prayers for me and what you have done to prepare this place for this great meeting. Please continue to be humble. A sweet spirit that you have. It's the same sweet spirit that we have in our church. Now, I don't know about you, but I'll brag about it. The Filipinos are gracious people. You know, our relationship goes very, very deep. We're very, very trusting people. We're very, very welcoming people. That's why I told Brother Rice won't have a problem in the Philippines. You know, every home, he's welcome. Filipinos love Rice. Anyway, he also came to our church already and preached in my church. But again, members of Bible Baptist Church, Nashville City, thank you so much for hosting this meeting. And I hope you will do it again. And maybe someday, God will allow me, if the Lord tarries, that our church also will be able to hold one like this. We're still renting a facility, but it's much bigger than what we had before. But we're also looking for a property in our place. A couple of months ago, I was talking to Pastor Hardy about trying to make a deal with a property. It just didn't materialize. So I know that wasn't God's plan yet. So we're still waiting. We're still waiting. But for the meantime, just keep knocking on doors. Winning souls. And again, to our church people, thank you for taking time off from work to be involved in feeding the preachers and their wives and their families. So please don't leave yet. We promise you a great lunch today. Mexican food. And tomorrow you will have your Filipino food tomorrow. But anyway, I hope and pray that will be a blessing to you. And I pray that God will use me to be a blessing to you. Let's all stand and open your Bible to the book of the Philippines. To the Philippines. I'm sorry, Philippines. Philippians. Our country is in the Bible. See? I would like to petition the U.S. Bureau of Census to change us from Filipinos to Philippians. Would you agree with that? And we'll be reading chapter 2, verse 12 to 16. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 16. I will read, please. Would you please follow? Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let's pray. Father, I just thank you already for what you have done. Thank you, Lord, for your message that I have heard already from thy servant. I ask that you would use me also to be a blessing. Lord, I cannot do this by myself. I ask that you would just fill me with your Holy Spirit. And may I be an encouragement to my fellow preachers. And many of them have traveled from far away and came to this church. And I pray, O God, that you will just feed us with your word. And I pray, O Lord, that also that you will just continue to use this meeting to speak to the heart of each one of us. So when we go to our respective churches, that we will be charged, energized, and ready to do more for our Savior. Again, thank you for our Savior, for what he has done. Thank you for loving us in the cross of Calvary. In Jesus' name, Amen. Please be seated. I prepared this message with a thought in mind about, again, Reverend Now, because he had helped us so much. He's long gone now. I know that they're both in heaven, but they truly have left a great legacy. Probably to the world, it was a loss, but to them, it is not. And you and I know that the Philippians is one of the prison epistles written by the Apostle Paul. And he started this church on his second missionary journey. And in that chapter 2, verse 16, if I can please lead you there, and I read it in chapter 2, verse 16, we can see Paul's concern. And I know that he loved the Philippian church. But he wrote this for us. And he said this in verse 16, holding for the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. So with that, I present to you that that must be also Paul's concern. He labored, he worked, he won souls, and he trained his believers in Philippi, and he was just concerned if they are still doing, in spite of his absence, what he had taught them. In other words, if they are still staying faithful after they have received those teachings, instruction from Paul. And of course, they sent, you know, the story, Epaphroditus was sent by the church to be a blessing to Paul. And the story went that he got sick. So, remember, Paul was now physically separated from the church, but in his heart, he's always thinking about the church, the state of the church, the condition of the church. And I'm pretty sure also that when Reverend Noel was here, when he was working in this church, his thought was also on some of the churches that he started in the Philippines. And I know that he helped start many, many churches there. And not only that, but he started a Bible college where many, many preachers were trained in the ministry and then started their own church. In other words, he was concerned also for their welfare. So the question that sometimes you and I would ask is this, like the way Paul asked it in this verse, will I rejoice in the day of Christ? Have I run in vain? Did I labor in vain? As I said, Paul being in prison and away from the church without direct knowledge or news or contact from the Philippian church, well, it must have been very difficult for him, even though, I said, he had gotten some news before, but now it's old news. You know, in other words, he yearned for news from the church. And probably that's the reason why he had entertained that thought. Is my labor in vain? But it's just like a missionary who started a church in a remote region in the Philippines. And of course, there are many stories like that. And he won many converts, taught them the Word of God, and organized a local church in that remote area. And after about 4 years, she came to the States on furlough. And while on furlough reporting to the supporting churches, he got sick. And he had no way to make contact with the church. And he didn't know how long he would recover from that illness and how long he could get back. He just wanted some news from the church. Don't you think that he would have the same concern also? What are they doing now? Are they continuing in the things that I've taught them? I'm pretty sure that was also Paul's concern here. And I believe that was his concern, or he would not have expressed it. And the way he related that concern is by assessing the spiritual welfare of the believers that he felt responsible for. And that's why he would probably ask them this question. Like, if I ask you, if I could ask you to turn there in verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. So the first question is, are they working out their salvation? And here, there is nothing in this verse that tells us that we have to work for our salvation. By the way, salvation is a free gift. We didn't have to work for it. We see that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And salvation is manifested, you know, salvation is by grace, but it's manifested in the daily life by glorifying Christ. If you claim to be saved, you must be showing it in your life daily. And I believe that salvation should not be static, but it's dynamic. It should continue to progress. So, the question I ask is, what does it mean to work out your salvation? Well, I believe to work out our salvation means to work it out to the finish. To work it out to completion. To work it out to perfection. And the point is clearly this. Once God has saved a person, He has to take hold of the new life and salvation, and He is to work it out until it is completed or finished. In other words, Christians don't just go halfway. I love Pastor Noel. He is a hard taskmaster. He's like a drill sergeant. You know, we being in the military, whoa, we can take it. Because we've been there. So we told him, if you are just thin-skinned, you will not last with him. Boy, he was hard on us. But we appreciated that. He made men out of us. Oh, I can't forget him, you know. With just his bony finger, almost touching, you know. I remember my company commander, when I make my mistake, and he chewed me up, you know, saying all those things. I cannot even understand. I have my pocket dictionary with me. When I go back to the bathroom, I look at all those words. I can find them in the dictionary. But it's sad. It's sad that I learned later what they were, you know. Oh, I said, I didn't learn that in college. So, in other words, don't just be content halfway with your salvation. Do not be satisfied with a little when you can have much. I know, I'm enjoying everything after I get saved. I can't compare my life before than my life now. It's so beautiful. I get so much. The things that I've been chasing for before, I'm no longer interested in those things. And God brought me friends that are real friends. Oh, I just enjoy hanging around with friends right now. We can joke a lot. You know, just enjoy clean fun. Unlike when we were in the military, I don't even want to go there on Monday and listen to them, you know, on what they bring up, on what they did on the weekend. I got tired of that. That's why military is a mission field. I thank God for those who are going after our comrades. They need good gospel witness there. As this church is comprised of many military and veterans, so does our church there in Mara Mesa also. It's good to serve in the military church. The only thing I don't like there is that when you have a faithful military family member working in the church, you know, and you know what Uncle Sam does. After two or three, they yank them out. They send them somewhere else. And how you wanted to keep them, but you just can't. And, but that's the way it is. And you know, God sent some more. And Paul, Paul told the Philippian believers on how to go about working their salvation. Hey, Philippi or Philippian believers, work out your salvation. How? With fear and trembling. With fear and trembling. Why? Because the world and its temptation and trials are so strong and the flesh is weak. We can easily slip into sin and failure without even knowing about it. And we have a constant enemy. He never gets tired. And if we get tired, we get weary, but our enemy are always out there trying to pull us down, whispering in our ears to quit. Oh, the first year in the ministry was not very happy. I don't know about you. We go there, drive, and I hold the midweek service. My daughter played the piano. I lead the singing, and my wife is the only one. The three of us. And it went on like that for several weeks and months. And I'm beginning to doubt whether I was the one called. Oh, the pressure was so strong to throw in the towel. To give up. And I was so dejected, discouraged. And I'm just trying to find the right word to come back to Pastor Larry. But I was just... He didn't know about it. I didn't tell. But I got so close. And then I attended a conference like this. And I sat down, and the very first preacher preached a message, and he titled, "Don't Quit." I said, what? You know? Oh, God, man. I wanted to go to the altar right there, but right after the message, I just confessed to the Lord, I'm wrong, got right with God, and I came back, and God had blessed.
Amen.
And God had blessed some more. And people get more faithful. And we want more souls. And when I look back, I thank God. It could have been a great loss. Seeing those souls that were saved and added there, and young people in Bible college now, and our church supporting missions, just like this church. The last time I checked, we are already supporting 80 missionaries. And probably this year we'll break the 100,000 mark. You know, but that's through the faithfulness of God. But I did not allow myself to be the victim of Satan. He is our constant enemy. That's why we are to fear and tremble, because we don't want to disappoint the Lord. He gave so much for you and for me. He did not give up on me. Why would I give up on Him? You know, with fear and trembling, this means that a believer is in constant apprehension of the deceitfulness of the heart, and is taking heed lest he fall. It's just being awake and alert. Because I'm afraid many, many Christians are not living a sober Christian life. And that's why they were easy prey. We need to be alert. We need, you know, this fear that Paul is talking about, it's not the fear of being lost, but the fear in the failure of not walking in lowliness of mind, in true humility, and unfailing obedience. And I believe that the majority of the members of this church and our church are working their salvation with fear and trembling. You know, so I can look back, Pastor, no, don't worry. Your people are working out their salvation in this church. Oh, you wouldn't find much more faithful, humble people. That's why I appreciate what Pastor Hardy told me. My Lolo, your people have a gracious heart. Please keep them humble. You know, and please don't lose that. But because when you feel that you are so big, that's dangerous. Because God had really blessed this church. And God had blessed our church as well. And I'm so thankful. So, the question that Paul may have is that, are they working out their salvation? And I believe the Philippian believers, the Philippian church, they were. They were working out their salvation. Not only that, but the next question is that, maybe what Paul in mind is, are the believers there, are they working out the salvation by working out obedience? Turn with me again on verse 13, Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do His good pleasure. For me, that's a great thought. That God Himself is working in me. You know, everything that we do here is the Lord's work anyway. It's not my work. He just allowed me to partake in His work. And this text said, He is working in me and in you. Isn't that a wonderful thought? Well, the question is, are the believers obeying the stirrings of God in their hearts? The word work it here means to energize. God arouses or steers or energizes the heart of the believer to do His will. And sometimes God used preaching. I believe majority of the time God used preaching to steer the heart. I still remember it very well. I know I made a promise to God. Lord, during the Vietnam War, I am so afraid that I could die. I don't even know where I'm going. Because I was unsaved. But after I got saved and they called me on the Desert Storm, I didn't have that fear no longer. Lord, I don't know what you're going to do with me. I may not come back alive, but I know that my family is in great shape. They are in good church. But I just made that promise. But if you are going to keep me alive, you will keep me safe, and I would come back here, Lord, I'll do what you want me to do. And lo and behold, the war was over so quick. Now it took me another 35 days to get back. And when I get back, it was Pastor Hardy was preaching. And God reminded me what I promised Him. And oh boy, I tell you, you cannot get away from that. And I did. Lord, here am I. I don't know what you're going to do with my life. And then God led me and showed me, little by little. You know, and I'm so thankful to what the Lord has done in my life. You know, because I followed that prompt. My heart was stirred. God moved my heart again. Remember what you promised me? And God used that message that night to bring me from where I was seated to come and surrender to the Lord. Amen. And many, many of us, you know how God touched your heart, stir your heart, prompt you to do something. The problem sometimes we have is we ignore it. We neglect it. Sometimes those opportunities come only once. And that's why I'm very, very careful when God wants me to do something, that I just grab a hold of it and do it, because I don't want to miss on that blessing. Yes. Am I obedient to the promptings or the steerings of my heart by God? I would say, not all the time, but majority of the time, I am. You know, this church, they have so many tender-hearted people. I do not recall where I have attended a service in this church where during the invitation that there were no people in this altar. When the heart of the people are stirred here, they don't hesitate. They come. The same thing in our church. They respond very well to the Word of God and the prompting and the steering of the Word of God. And they come because they mean business with God. That's why I love Pastor now. You know, he knows if you mean business with God. Because he knows when you're just playing around, you will not last long with him. So I thank God for that man. Oh, in other words, God is working within us to energize us in giving us both the will and the power to do those things that pleases him. And I believe that happened to the believers in the Philippian church. That Paul, even he had the concern, is my labor in vain? Did I run in vain? Paul, no, you did not. Because I believe that the believers there did exactly as Paul hoped them to be. I know that when, I believe it's a very important principle in leadership. I learned this. This is not original mine. Inspect what you expect. Isn't that true? Inspect what you expect. You know, if you're really expecting something to happen in that place, then you gotta have to do something to look at it. Check it out, what they're really doing. You know, of course, right now we have no way of, especially when we are supporting the missionaries. I hope and pray that they're really doing the great job. But we have no way of knowing it, right? We're just sending them support, we're praying for them. But by God's grace, we are praying that they are really doing what they're supposed to do there. Because that's the part of the Great Commission that we have. We'll take care of our own Jerusalem here, but they will take care of all those uttermost parts of the earth. And I'm glad that Pastor Noel and Pastor Larry taught me that the heartbeat of God is in missions. Well, I took that to heart. The first year of our existence there in Mira Mesa, we held the Faith Promise Mission Conference right away. Can you imagine that? We started that. We started with $5,000 with just a few people. You know, but God proved that nothing is impossible unto Him. Oh, God proved Himself over and over that He's a great God. He never failed. And He is working in me, and He is working in you. You know, God's work is not finished yet. As I said, our duty as believers is to get hold of those steerings. Do not let them pass. We are to grab hold of them and do exactly what the steering or energizing is prompting us to do. So the believers work out their salvation with fear and trembling. And the believers must work out their salvation also by working at obedience. Be obedient. And then I believe also, Paul wrote it in this word, hey, Philippian believers, are you working at not murmuring? Look with me here in verse 14. Do all things without murmuring and disputing. I believe that the theme of the letter to Philippi is still the call to unity. And there is nothing that will damage the church more than murmuring. I have not been in the ministry long. I've been in the ministry full-time only 9 years. But I can see what this will do. And we teach our people. How to handle this. And be careful about this murmuring in our church. Because you know, it starts small like fire. But it can get so big quickly if we don't take care of it, don't we? Oh, as I said, this issue probably is the most damaging that hinders the progress of the local church. Because murmuring, I believe, and disputing are never of God. Never. Amen. And that should not find its place in the local church. The person who murmurs is not working at his own salvation or deliverance. He is doing the opposite, working to bring judgment upon himself. He must have heard the admonition of Paul in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 2, that means 3 and 4. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. 2 Timothy chapter 2, 24, verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Why do people murmur? Sometimes I ask. I think most people murmur when they are hurt. Did you know that hurt people hurt people?
That's right. Amen.
Yeah. That's why they need to take care of that. When you are hurt, just follow the principle of Matthew chapter 18. Get right away.
Amen.
That's what we try to do in our church. I thank God for the unity in this church. It's so neat to watch them work like a well-oiled machine. You know, sometimes that's what they notice in the church. If you come at this church on Saturday, it is as if they have Sunday services already. People are here getting busy for the Lord. Amen. Go in my church. It's the same thing.
Amen.
Yeah. And on Sunday, they don't go home anymore. They still hang around there. I don't know how they do it. You know, after the service, you know what they do? They still hang around there. Another 15 minutes, maybe. So you throw them out and they go to the foyer and they still hang around there another 20 minutes, right? And after that, they go to the parking lot. They're still there. You know, they just love our church people. I can see that they really enjoy the church fellowship. And because you know why? They are united in the Spirit and united in purpose, which is serving God, worshiping Him, and fulfilling the Great Commission. That is our main business. The reason why we are there in Mira Mesa is to give the gospel out in our lost community. There's still many, many people there that are not saved. Well, it used to be that Mira Mesa were full of Filipino families. But you know, as days passed, they improve on economic condition. You know, they move to, I don't know, we say, upscale area or neighborhood. So now, when we knock on door, it's no more Filipinos, Vietnamese, Cambodians. You know, the other, that's why our church is not just Filipino church. We have Cambodians now there in our church. We have Laotian, we have Vietnamese. You know, the good thing about it, we look the same. You cannot tell the difference, you know. Sinners saved by grace. That's what we are. You know? You see them singing the choir, you will not be able to tell which one are Vietnamese and which one is Filipino until I tell you. You know, but God is so good. He has allowed us to win them to the Lord. And we still thank God for the opportunity. I think I'm looking at my wife now. So church, don't murmur. I'm sorry. I'm going to be done here quickly. I know that one more admonition that Paul mentioned to them is church, work out at being pure.
Amen.
Follow on purity. Live life separated from the world. And that's what I preach on our church and we teach in our church Bible standards. This is what the Bible says. It's not just what the pastor prefers.
Right.
You know, refrain from drinking alcohol.
Amen.
Smoking. If I see you smoking, I'll throw you out from my church. Get out of here. You know. I know I ran out of time, but I'd like to use some illustrations. You know, sometimes we had a first stewardship banquet, and when we were counting our commitment card, there was an envelope, and on the envelope it's written for stewardship. Right? And everything else was just a regular commitment card that we recognize. But when I opened that just one white envelope that has a stewardship banquet offering written on it, when I opened it, it was a $5 lottery ticket. I said, and I remember what the Brother Arnold said last night, you know, the disclaimer on the package, you know. See, the casino there is not from us, okay? You know, we teach our people, you know, not to be involved with that, you know. So I felt like, man, I have to use the bully pulpit and really preach. But the Holy Spirit reminded me, you know, rebuke not an elder, you know. But be gentle. So I learned the right way of telling. Lola, I said, you know, so you know that it's an older lady. That is not. And I praise God that she understood, she listened. Oh, I did not know. Sorry, Pastor, but thank you for telling me. You know, as Christians, we don't want to participate in the things in the world. The Bible says you are light of this world. We are witnesses to them. What kind of witness are we if we're doing the same things as they're doing? You know, I still testify in court. You know, there is nothing that the defense attorney does than to ruin my testimony, trying to make me agree with him that I'm just doctoring my scientific result. You know, that's your job. I don't have to get mad. Yet. Do your the best, but I'll do the best I can too. And I found that they always lose. But anyway, I said, lastly, here, is that, hey, Philippian believers, are you working at your salvation by working at your witnessing? Look with me, lastly here, in verse 16. Holding forth the word of light. The word holding forth, that means you are stretching it out. Holding forth the word of light. You know, I did not read here holding back. Holding forth the word. This church and our church continue to hold forth the word of light. Because in it, there is salvation that people can live. I thank God for this opportunity to speak to you. Again, thank you for your prayers. Pastor Leonard, thank you for your support of our church. And again, I thank God for our church people who have been busy preparing our lunch today. Thank you so much.